T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your phone call is welcome at 869-1330. This is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Had a really neat opportunity. You know, how many people can say that they've had the chance to sit down and talk with two former White House press secretaries? And, you know, here's another little hint for you, a little bit of a tease. We're going to have Sarah Huckabee Sanders on here soon. So that'll be three. But so far, I've had the chance to sit down with two of them. Thanks to the Kansas Chamber of Commerce. They've been very generous supporters of the show. And so last week I had the opportunity to sit down and talk with Ari Fleischer and to attend the Kansas Chamber's annual dinner. And so we're going to play for you. I just grabbed him backstage and got a couple minutes, talked with him, and then we'll play some highlights from his speech with Ari Fleischer, former White House press secretary for George Bush.
Ari, tell me, you know, you had the opportunity so few people have to serve in a White House. Can you give me, I mean, what are some of the best things that you reflect, some of the things you remember most about serving in the White House?
Well, I think the best thing is you're a firsthand witness to history. You're sitting in the meetings, hearing the president get prepared or briefed on a variety of issues, domestic and foreign. I used to sit in summit meetings with President Putin, President Xi of China, Zhang of China. And it was a very monumental era when I was there, and I'm proud of what President Bush did to help our nation move through some very tough times.
Yeah, you were there through some really key times. Looking at, you know, what you've seen, and I've seen some of your comments that you've had about President Trump, and, you know, my listeners know, though I support the president now because he's our president, he certainly wasn't my first choice back during the primary, but I've been a little disappointed with some of the way our Republicans have supported the president now. I'm curious, what are your thoughts as we look at impeachment, as we look at the way the Democrats have handled this process? What are your thoughts on the impeachment, on this whole process, and how it's been handled?
Well, look, the president is a bull in a china shop, and everywhere he goes, he brings another china shop with him. But part of that is how you get things done right now. And with this Congress, and he's been able as an outsider to achieve things that no normal politician would ever get done, particularly when it comes to taking on China, to getting NATO to spend more money, doing some things that typical politicians talk about and they don't act on. And so my bottom line with President Trump is his policies have been really good for this country. The economy is superb. Our foreign policy is good. It's strong. It's tough. And we're standing up to China. So when it comes down to the fundamental question of impeachment, what's the crime? He did not commit any crime. So I think what he did was inappropriate and wrong. You should not, as president, ask a foreign nation to investigate a political opponent. But that's a huge difference, a constitutional difference, between doing something wrong and committing a crime. And that's why I fought impeachment right from the start.
Yeah, well, and I appreciate you taking the time. I know that you've got the dinner coming up here, and I'll look forward to hearing from you. Thank you again for taking the time.
All right. Thanks, John.
It was interesting. You know, you could probably hear in the background, you heard the creaking noise. That was the elevator. We jumped on the elevator, went downstairs. I grabbed my seat, and he went to the podium. And it was just a real rare opportunity to have that chance to grab a few minutes with him and talk with him. And then he spoke, and he spoke for a good 30 minutes. I tried to get some of the key moments from his speech, and I want to share just about a few minutes with you. The things that I felt were most interesting is when he gave his analysis of the 2016 election and tried to explain the phenomenon that was the Trump election.
The presidential election that we witnessed in 2016 was unlike any election we have ever had in our nation's history. Never in the history of the United States have the people ever elected anyone as president who did not previously hold elected office, high appointed office, or a retired general. The outsider, Donald Trump, won the presidency. To his detractors, we're living in a time of political peril as they worry about his personality, his stability, his judgment, and his actions. To his supporters, his presidency has been a long overdue event as they cheer his rejection of politics as usual, and they hope for him to shake up Washington, while giving struggling middle-income Americans especially a voice that they feel that they've been missing in Washington. Donald Trump won because of 60 million Americans are so fed up with Washington and typical politicians that they chose instead to elect an outsider who they were counting on to be different by nature, by personality, and someone who would focus on getting things done. Every one of them understood when they voted for Donald Trump that he was a flawed man. Boy, did they know he has flaws. They wanted him to be. The president drew his strength from a group of Americans who feel that they were left behind in the economy in the years leading up, especially, to the 2016 election. People who used to make $24 an hour, who then made $12 an hour, and they're told they were lucky to even have a job. People who see their friends become unemployed as their jobs shifted to China and to Mexico. We're talking about people who've seen the value of the homes in which they live and in which their neighbors live drop from $125,000 to $100,000 for entire subdivisions for sale or for close. In some places in America, particularly on the coasts, those numbers are almost impossible for people to understand. There are reporters I know in Washington, D.C., whose kitchen renovations cost them price of homes for many voters in this country. But it's reality for most Americans, and many of them saw Donald Trump and to this day see Donald Trump as someone who will fight for them. Donald Trump won because he understood something about America that many experts, particularly those in the media, did not understand about our country. He won because he appealed to a hardworking, sometimes struggling group of lower-income Americans and middle-income Americans who think Washington has ignored them and doesn't understand them. They thought Donald Trump heard them. They thought Washington, and Secretary Clinton particularly, looked down on them. Think about this. Two Republican candidates who almost all the experts and insiders hate the most did the best. Donald Trump, Ted Cruz. 80% of the votes that were cast from the very first Iowa caucus to the final primary, the Indiana primary, were Donald Trump clinched the nomination. 80% of the votes were cast by Republicans, Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. Not Jeb Bush, not Marco Rubio, not Scott Walker. Not Governor Christie of New Jersey, not the established, experienced insiders that the press liked the most. It was the outsiders who captured the hearts of the Republicans, the grassroots level, and did the best.
You know, the one element of that speech that really clung to me, that really hit me, was when he mentioned the value of American homes that had dropped below $100,000. And then he said that he knew reporters back in Washington, D.C., who'd spent more on than $100,000 on their kitchen renovations. That's why they don't get it. That's why they don't understand it. That's why they view us as flyover country. That's why they don't understand you. That's why they can't get middle America. That's why they don't understand us. That's why they don't understand Republicans. The other thing that we did this last weekend was we did man-on-the-street interviews with people attending the state Republican Party convention in Olathe. And I asked two questions of convention attendees, and the answers, well, I'll let you hear them for yourself.
We're here at the Republican Party 2020 convention. We're asking two questions of convention goers. It's very simple. The first question, I'm going to give you the names of three prominent senators. I'm going to give you three names. You're going to tell me who you think is the most Republican. You guys ready? Really simple. Here you go. Okay, three names. Who's the most Republican? Mitt Romney, Jim Denning, or Barbara Bollier?
That's a trick question. None of the above.
Wow, I got to think about that one.
I'm going to name three prominent senators. You'll know their names. And I just want to know who you think is the most Republican. Okay? Who's the most Republican? You ready? Here are the names. Jim Denning, Mitt Romney, or Barbara Bollier. Who's the most Republican? Okay, that pretty much answers the question. They're all the same. That's a good answer. What do you think, sir?
I think they're kind of all in the same boat
All the same. Three senators. Who's the most Republican? Mitt Romney, Jim Denning, or Barbara Bollier?
Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney. That's the first Romney answer.
That is like three Satans. I'm sorry.
Three Satans. Okay.
Beelzebub, Satan, and the devil. They're all the same.
Okay, dokie.
None of the above.
Barbara. Whoa.
How is that even possible?
All right. Last question. We're in the midst of the 2020 legislative session. How many times do you think Governor Kelly will blame Sam Brownback for her problems?
At least 10,000.
So we're in the middle of the 2020 legislative session. How many times this session will Governor Laura Kelly blame Sam Brownback for all her problems?
I don't have enough fingers and toes to count that, but I'm going to guess somewhere in the 7 to 8 trillion.
Oh, wow. Okay, I think that is probably a more accurate figure and the highest we've heard tonight, probably more accurate.
Like the Price is Right, I want to go under instead of go over.
At least once every hour.
Maybe more.
How many times do you think Governor Laura Kelly is going to blame Sam Brownback for all her problems?
Every single time.
Okay, good answer. Will Governor Laura Kelly blame Sam Brownback for her problems this session?
Every time.
However many she wants to, and she gets away with it with the media.
Every day of the week.
Every day. Good answer. Infinity.
This is a drinking game. We'd be drunk right now.
Infinity. 2 minute account.
Infinity.
The best answer had to be, if this is a drinking game, we'd be drunk right now. Don't go anywhere. After a quick break, Senate President Susan Weigel is going to join us to discuss the actions she took yesterday to delay any action on Medicaid expansion in the Senate. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.